When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the things you learn about your coworkers. Curtis, I would have never, never taken you for a Dispatch fan.
This is a great tune.
How did that, was that the beat Boston College influence?
No, my sister went to high school with Chad, whatever the guy's last name is. He went to Dover Sherburn.
Chad from Dispatch. Just call him Chad from Dispatch.
I call him CD. and that song is about Wiggy, the flying horses in Oak Bluffs or Vineyard Haven that you ride. And if you get a golden one, then you get another free ride.
I didn't know that.
Who knew?
Wow.
Who knew? A real banger.
I mean,
we are at the American Heritage Museum. It is an annual tradition for us is Lunch with a Hero. I want to thank everybody for coming out this morning. You guys are incredible. We say every time we say, hey, we're going to do this, you show up. So I cannot thank you enough for being here to thank those who men and women who serve this country and to take a look at this place. It's really extraordinary what you can see here. And it's a good, I mean, you should do it all year long, but it's a good weekend to do it. So,
and I don't want to be dramatic, but walking around, I don't know if I'll have enough time to go through everything because the Hanoi Hilton, which is right behind us, what they have set up in that room is incredible. I mean, they have projections on the wall. It makes you feel like you're there.
Like you're a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's
no social media, by the way. They did not have access.
I did know
to
that. Yeah, TikTok. No delivery either.
There's no TikTok for them.
You wouldn't last long. It's just I don't have enough time to go around and read everything and really take it all in. It's if you have never been here, take your kids. It's incredible.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to Joe Landry, who is here with us and just celebrated his 100th birthday coming up in just a little bit. And I think we got a big cake for Joe. And so that is all coming up this morning on a Patriots Friday and a Flex Friday. We do have news that is left this morning, Courtney.
Correct. We're going to go to an irrational fear in South Carolina. 43 monkeys escaped from a research facility.
Oh. This sounds like a movie plot.
Yeah.
Starring Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. Five little monkeys playing on the bed.
Sounds so like the Wizard of Oz.
How did they get out?
This was user error.
Probably because they're very smart.
Well, right. Obviously primates, very smart.
Primates are very smart.
But somebody that worked at the research facility did not properly lock the facility.
So it was like a lab leak.
That's the worry. But they said that the monkeys are all too young that any research or testing has been done on them. So they don't have any disease. They don't contain.
Okay.
That's what they told us.
I don't believe that. Why do they have the monkeys in the lab if they're not doing evil experiments on the monkeys?
Right. That's what I would think. But they said, nope, they're too young.
Have they found them?
No, they have not found them.
So they're just running amok.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Correct.
Are they near a wet market?
That would be terrifying to me.
Yes, very scary.
Like you're on your old man walk in the morning, right, and all of a sudden you're squaring off against a monkey.
I kind of love monkeys, so and if they're baby monkeys.
You wouldn't like
that? That is such nonsense, right.
I love
Courtney.
Them.
If
I
there
love
was
them.
A monkey running after you, you would not be like, right, hi.
No, like a baby one.
Yeah. Clearly, Courtney hasn't seen the movie Outbreak.
Oh, great
Dustin
movie.
Dustin Hoffman.
I'm not. Yeah.
Good flick.
Yeah, no. You won't be hugging no monkey then.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think it's okay. So, this happened, I think, like a long time ago, like in the 20s or something. If LB were here, he could Google it. But I believe there's a monkey population in some part of the South that should not normally be there because monkeys escaped from some research facility in the 20s or something.
Wow.
And then they never caught them. So then they, you know, as monkeys do,
yep,
they fornicated like crazy. And
right.
They have a lot of monkeys where they shouldn't have monkeys.
So it's a real-life Planet of the Apes type thing.
I think so.
Have you ever seen a monkey squirrel? Big in the South.
No, I have not.
Where they look probably, like the head of a monkey.
Yeah.
Or the head of a squirrel and the body of a monkey. I forget. It's one or the other.
Right. Yeah. That's probably that's probably where it came from.
Yeah.
That sounds one of those verifying.
They're real. They're on the golf courses down there. Yeah.
One of those monkeys escaped and got desperate.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
What?
Anyway, if you missed Curtis's lead this morning, Australia has plans for a social media ban for kids under the age of 16.
Controversial lead, but a lot of people in Twitch chat, text, DMs, etc., are really interested in this, Curtis, based on your lead this morning. So
it's pretty simple. You are charged with protecting kids. If you're under 16, you are a child. And the social dilemma is, Doug reminded me, is the Netflix. If you haven't seen it and you have kids, I strongly recommend it. The amount of issues surrounding mental health related to adolescence has skyrocketed since the smartphone had social media. So you are constantly, it's not a laptop or a desktop where you're sitting at your computer. You, with your phone at all hours of the day, have the ability to be bullied or made to feel that you're fat or you're whatever. And I just think that the cost-benefit analysis of it, for those that Wiggy is right, that it may help for young entrepreneurs, I totally get that. The wide swath of people that it would help, to me, outweighs those that would be impacted negatively by it.
How are they going to enforce it in Australia? Like, how are they going to prevent somebody who's under 16 from getting on to social media?
Yeah, I know, right?
We can hear from the Prime Minister of Australia.
Right. This one's for the mums and dads. Social media is doing harm to our kids. And I'm calling time on it. The onus will be on social media platforms to demonstrate they are taking reasonable steps to prevent access. The onus won't be on parents or young people.
I think it's pretty good. The only thing I object to the situation well in advance of it happening, because it's just one of the worst things that has happened, I think, when it comes to social interaction. But what if these kids, like they're only social, because they don't get together with other actual human beings in person, what if that's the only human access that they have? Is this?
Well, the hope, I think, is if they get
they
rid of this, that is going to...
Yeah, I mean, do they have school?
I mean, were you able to make friends when you were a kid?
Not really.
Yeah.
if you want to think about how they can enforce it, if you think back to where social media really started, there was MySpace, but Facebook is really where it took off, and you used to need, when it first came out, a college email address to make a Facebook.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have one, then you were S out of luck.
Right, and just like everything else, Greg's generation ruined it when they joined Facebook like a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah. I also think my anxiety may have started with Honesty Box with Facebook in high school.
But
like that was, people could write whatever they wanted anonymously.
What did they write about you?
What in the world? I've never heard of Honesty Box.
Oh my God. It was a big thing at our high school. Yeah.
But why not just not have your kid sign up for the social media platform?
Well, because kids will do it anyway.
Wiggy, you're the one who tells me good luck with James when he gets older.
No, but good luck with him when he's outdoors, but you can control his social media. You can control his phone.
Right, but if James is in a class with 16 other guys,
right,
and the other 16 guys are on social media,
right,
then my decision is negatively impacting his ability to communicate with his friend group. Whereas if the other kids are not on social media, then it's just like, you know, why don't you go outside, do this thing called looking in the eye and like
have fun. Yeah, but we have
so just to be clear, in this particular case, you, Chris Curtis, want the government making decisions for you.
Absolutely. Right. The same reason a 10-year-old doesn't drive a car. I mean, it's not absurd to say the government doesn't have a place in society. I would also say that when you have these the group of people, parents today,
uh-huh,
if your daughter or son your son's 15 and he's going to a friend's house, you're going to call the friend, you're going to see who's there, and almost all of play is monitored by some adult. We no longer go down the street to the cul-de-sac or go to the field and play with our friends. Nothing is unsupervised. Yet they get home, shut their door, go in their bedroom, and they're unsupervised where the whole world has access to them,
but
and we think that's normal.
They're unsupervised because the parent is too lazy to go in there and monitor their kid. You know what happened? We used to have it when we were growing up, Greg, right? So it's no different. Like you're saying,
You used to have what when you were growing up?
Because you're saying, well, what happens when the kid goes out and you're saying the kid's at school and they're like, oh, why weren't you on social media? We're all on social media. And then the kid goes home and says, Mom, why can't I get social media? All my friends do. It's no different when we were growing up. And my mother used to say, if 10 of your friends jump off a bridge, are you going to do it? Or if they say, well, guess what? We're face to face.
We're all going to this
movie.
Like your curfew was 5 p.m. and they were going to say, yeah.
That hurt you at prom night, I remember.
But Courtney, it'd be no different if they're like, you tell the kid, we're all going to the movies. And then you go the next day into school and they're like, why didn't you come to the movies? And they're like, my mother won't left me. You don't think they're going to bully him?
No, I think that's very different.
It's not very different. It's the same thing.
From my point of view, going out one night and not being allowed to go to a movie is very different than every day everybody communicating somewhere where you are blocked from joining in that talk.
Right, but you're still blocked if you're not able to do the things that other kids are able to do.
But I'm not going to prevent James from going to a movie with friends. I'm talking about using something that has actual confirmed impact negatively on the people that are using it. And as his dad, I'm not going to give him something I know potentially will make him feel worse about himself.
You just said it. As his dad, you're not going to give him something you know is going to harm him.
Correct.
So, but it's not the government's job to say, hey, you're 15.
Why can't you drive when you're 9?
You know what, Curtis? There are a lot of people in lots of part of America who actually start teaching their kids how to drive when they're 12 years old.
But the government says you can't.
Right. The government.
Why do you allow the government to say that?
Because there are a lot of things that the government already put their hands into that they don't let you dip.
We are a society of laws.
Not flavor dip.
Right. Okay. They don't let you flavor dip, but they're a society of laws, but it's your job as a parent to make sure that your children are not doing things or to monitor your children to doing it. It's not the government's job.
All right. Very interesting debate.
Great point, Wicks. Agree to disagree, but good point.
All right, anything else?
Well, we're going to end with some sad news. I didn't know who this was, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there listening who don't know either, but for the elderly folk, Elwood...
Are you calling me elderly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you could get Social Security now, right?
No, I cannot. I'm not anywhere near that age. But go ahead.
I think two more years.
Yeah, no.
Elwood Edwards, who is the man who is the voice of AOL's You've Got Mail, has passed away at the age of 74.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
can we hear the You Got Mail
guy? I had Jackson grab for a trip down memory lane for you.
All right. Okay. You've Got Mail.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there he is. Is that the only thing he did? Like, that's a
yep.
That's the crowning achievement of his life.
Right. That's a pretty good one.
I mean, not bad, but you have to get the dial-up modem before that. That was the best. By the way, You've Got Mail? Not a bad movie.
Did I just hear that one?
Oh, F-O-X.
Is that like Meg Ryan?
Yeah, Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
Ew, that was not a good
movie. Oh, I loved it.
Oh, my God.
Nice romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Where she says that, do you ever finally say the exact thing you want to say in the exact way you want to say it, and then you feel immediate remorse because the way you said it hurt someone? And I thought that was a very well said thing.
Oh, that is nice.
Why do you do that every day, though, on this radio show?
I do not. I just speak truth.
Were you a big Sleepless in Seattle fan?
Oh, my God. When he was calling to get his dad a date? How sweet.
All right. We are at the – great job, Courtney. Round of applause
for
Courtney, please.
Thank you so much.
You Got Mail.
We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will get to meet Joe Landry, who we all met last year at Lunch with a Hero, a World War II veteran, Greatest Generation member, just celebrated his 100th birthday. So we'll talk to Joe coming up. Right now, though, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins get a win in overtime to get back to 500 on the season, taking down the Calgary Flames 4-3. Captain Marchand was the savior with the game winner. Korpisalo had 34 saves in the win. The Ravens beat the Bengals in Thursday Night Football 35-34. Lamar Jackson in Baltimore scored 28 points in the second half, the most a team has scored in the second half so far this season. A 5-yard touchdown pass to Rashad Bateman with under 2 minutes to play got the deal done. It is a Patriots Friday. We talked with Jelani Tavai already this morning. You can listen to that on the Odyssey app, and you can talk Patriots all morning long here on EEI. Kickoff for the Pats-Bears game is at 1 p.m. on Sunday. The Celtics are home with the Nets in town. Tip is at 7:30 tonight. Jaylen Brown is out of this one with Luke Kornet also a question mark, doubtful with right hamstring tightness.
I am I'm actually going to the Celtics game tonight.
Oh, all right. Wow. That's new.
Jaylen. That'll be three in a row that he misses.
Yeah.
Courtney had a report that the Celtics are not concerned about it. So if they're not concerned about it,
that was me. I talked to Kurt, who said that the Celtics have zero concern about this whatsoever.
All right. So if they're not concerned about it, why would I be concerned about it?
If they were concerned about it, why would they tell anybody?
I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I mean, what do you mean they're not? It's three games in a row.
Yeah, I'm worried.
Okay.
Maybe it's just a cautionary thing because there's so many games in basketball.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked home-style chicken pot pie packed with chicken and topped with a buttery, flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 48 degrees, sunny skies, afternoon high, partly cloudy, breezy out there, Greg. 61 afternoon high.
All right, we are getting ready for Veterans Day on Monday at the American Heritage Museum, which is in Hudson and partly in my lifelong continent of Stowe. And there seemed to be some interest a while ago in Ask a Boomer, or what it really should be called, Ask a Near Boomer, Ask an Xer. We will, I think we'll play a little Ask a Greatest Generationer with Joe Landry as we get ready for Veterans Day coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. It is a Flex Friday, and we are at the American Heritage Museum in the Hudson getting ready for Veterans Day. We're going to try this with our guy, Joe Landry.
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
All right. How about that? That's a good. That's one step forward. You can hear us. Okay.
Right.
All right. Can we have a round of applause for Joe for his service service to our country in World War II?
Yes.
Thanks for being here. We haven't seen you since last Veterans Day. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, good. Did I hear that you just got your driver's license? You passed the test. You're rolling along.
I just got my driver's license for 5 years.
Oh, wow. That's awesome!
Wow.
So I hope I use it.
Yeah, I hope you do too. what was your? Do you remember the first car you bought?
First car I bought was a 1932 Ford station wagon.
Ah.
And I cut the back off and made a pickup truck out of it. Probably worth $1 million today.
It probably would be. It's so interesting, you know, for me, for Courtney, for Chime, for everybody, Curtis, everybody who listens to the show, to kind of hear the stories of the way things were. And you, I was thinking about this the other day. How old were you when you were drafted?
I was 18 and a half.
18 and a half.
Yeah, and I was drafted in March of 43, went into Fort Devens, which was right next door, and went from there to North Carolina for basic training and back to Camp Edwards down the Cape. We shipped out of Boston to Scotland and down through England and
all over. Just to be clear for Shime and Courtney, you didn't receive your draft notice via email, or you weren't notified on Instagram or Facebook.
How were you notified?
I got a letter in the mail saying my friends and neighbors wanted my service, but I didn't know any of them. But
I find it interesting right now with the election just happening and going and casting your vote on a ballot. But now they put it into a machine and everything's counted that way. But back when you were younger, you know, your first election of memory, they were doing that all by hand, right? Like they would have to count all the votes?
Yeah, and
they don't do that anymore.
They were all...
just kidding. I'm sorry. Sorry, I guess.
They were all paper ballots. And I worked at the polling place for a couple of years, and my job was to, they'd put the ballot in this machine, and I would turn the crank, put it in the box, and a gentleman was joking with everybody in the hall, so when he got to put the ballot in my box, he told me, he says, I hope my vote counts. I says, it won't, this is the paper shredder.
Who was the first president that you voted for?
I'd have to say Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Yeah. Wow.
FDR.
Yeah.
Wow.
FDR.
I have a question for Joe. First of all, the set getting younger without me there with a 100-year-old is not a great look for me. But the day that you found out you were coming home, how was that told to you? Were you able to write a letter home? What was the process like when the war ended, or your service in the war ended? How did you find that out? What did you feel, and how did you let everybody know that you were in fact coming home?
Well, I didn't have cell phones back then. I really don't remember. I know I let them know somehow, but we came back. I got discharged out of Fort Devens, and at the time, they'd give you a taxi fare to go home, so they gave me a quarter.
And that was enough to get the taxi home.
Wow.
And yeah. I still have the quarter.
but you served...
1945.
Whoa.
You served... At the time that you served, 5 of your 7 siblings were also serving. Do I have that number right?
I had 2 brothers in the Air Corps as mechanics. I had a brother in the CBs as a bulldozer operator. I had a sister in the Coast Guard, and myself in the Army. And then later on, my younger brother went and spent 21 years in the Navy. And my oldest sister didn't go into service, but she spent all the war years at the USO building in Shirley, hosting GIs and parties and stuff like that. So all seven of us served. And since after I got married and my son went into service and he spent 21 years destroying chemical weapons all over the country. Mm.
What was that like for your mom with all of you serving at the same time?
I never saw my mother cry, but her hair turned white.
While you were gone.
While we were gone.
Yeah.
And there was, five of us in World War II, and we all came home.
But there was, And then there, with Thanksgiving right around the corner, there's a story I think about you being overseas serving and then being able to celebrate Thanksgiving with your brother by random occurrence. Is that
just by luck? I was on a trip to pick up supplies for my outfit, and there was a Jeep in front of me, and as you know, all vehicles had the outfit numbers on the bumpers. So this Jeep had my brother's numbers on it. So I blew the horn to get them to stop to see where they were stationed. And lo and behold, my brother was in the Jeep.
Oh, wow.
So it's just unbelievable. I know a lot of people made appointments and went to visit brothers and cousins and that. But this was just a fluke, and it was 2 or 3 days before Thanksgiving. And he being in the Air Force, they sent an airplane back to England and got ice cream and turkey and the whole bit. And we had a feast, and I understand my outfit was eating Cracker Jack, K-1 rations.
And you guys had ice cream and turkey.
Yeah.
Smart move.
And like I said, we all survived, and every Thanksgiving we kind of had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Joe, let me ask this, because I think they always say this, like, who's the one person if you could have dinner with? You've been on this earth for a long time. Who is the most famous person that you were able to come in contact with? We see so many great people throughout time, but you've been here for so long. Who was that one person that you were able to meet famous that you were like, wow, this is an unbelievable experience?
During the war or afterwards?
Just throughout your whole life.
Well, I was at a ceremony in St. Marie L'Eglise, France, 2 years ago with the 82nd Airborne. And they had a party, and I was sitting by myself, and the woman that was running the party said, "Will you come sit over here?" And there were 3 seats. She sat me in the middle, and the next thing I know, there's a 4-star general on my left that was the head general for the 82nd Airborne, and then there was a 4-star general on my right, who was the chief of staff from Washington, D.C. So he's probably the most important person I've ever met.
Wow. Pretty good company.
Other than Vanna White, I met her once.
Wait, how'd you meet Vanna White?
Yeah.
How'd you meet Vanna White?
My wife won a all-expense paid trip to California on the Wheel of Fortune. They were having a party, and got to meet her and Pat.
Did your wife win?
Pardon?
Did she win any money on Wheel of Fortune? No.
No.
You got to meet the important one. I have to know, because you are so funny, so witty. You look great. Like, what is your key to success when it comes to life? I want to make sure that I'm doing exactly what you're doing.
I won't tell you, but.
That's it. Can we please?
Classic.
The only thing I noticed I did different was I didn't drink much and I never smoked.
I'm cooked.
Other than that, I'm still here.
Yeah. And you're doing right.
Unbelievable.
One thing that you can take credit for is that you recently threw out the first pitch at a Major League Baseball game, and it was better than both Wiggy and I, and we've tried three or four times.
Yeah.
So how did that end up happening?
Well, I belong to the Battle of Bulls Association, and my son happens to be president of it. And we were having our convention in St. Louis, so somehow he arranged for me to throw out the first pitch.
Oh, look at this. Here we have, if we can, we can take a picture of that or get it over, but that's the baseball card. So I think it was you threw a strike.
Pardon?
You threw a strike.
You
threw a strike.
And
like Cy Young.
I've been in the right place at the right time.
There you go.
A few times.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Jeffrey, did you?
You can have that.
Can I have that?
Yeah. I've got a few more.
You're like Wiggy. He brings his own photos everywhere.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Ted Williams play?
Did I what?
See Ted Williams play for the Red Sox? See Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Did
no,
you ever,
I never.
You never saw him play?
No.
Okay.
Greg has.
Yeah. Thank you.
Here you go, Wiggy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So were you a big sports...
Pardon?
Were you a big sports fan as a kid growing up?
I never played any sports.
Okay.
We played in a farmer's yard. And a bunch of kids got together, and we used dried cow flaps for bases. One kid had a ball all taped up, and somebody else had a bat.
Yeah.
Joe, before you went to serve in World War II, where was the furthest you had traveled from home?
Probably Boston.
So you went from never going more than 20 minutes away to going to an entirely different continent. What was the boat trip like there? What did you do? What did you talk about? How did you pass time? Were you all terrified? Were you all energized? What was the morale on the ship to the war?
Well, I don't know. Kids back then were different kids today. We had to do everything for ourselves. And that's why they call us the greatest generation.
You are.
Today, everything is planned for everybody.
Yeah.
But somebody asked me not too long ago how I felt about being drafted. So I told them I was in a family of seven. They took me out of the family wearing hand-me-down clothes and that kind of stuff. They gave me a set of uniforms. They sent me on a train ride to North Carolina. They brought me back, put me on a boat, gave me a cruise to Scotland, another train ride down the coast, put me on a boat across the English Channel, and gave me a truck to drive. They paid the gas. So how can you go wrong?
No. Unbelievable.
Speaking, I mean, really, like, there's a little bit of a difference there when it comes to the way we have all approached life.
We are spoiled.
I would say.
I have been very, very fortunate all through my life, and thank God for that. And I have so many friends that I can't count them all, but thank you.
This is for Courtney and Chime and everybody. Driving the truck, how would you know where you were going? Because there was no such thing as GPS.
Well, they give you what they call a strip map and tell you where to go, but they only had the road that you were supposed to be on. So if you accidentally got off that road, you were on your own.
Oh, my God.
Because all the roads over there at the time were gravel. And on one of the particular convoys I was on, a lieutenant was leading the convoy in a Jeep, driving like crazy, and we couldn't keep up with him, and I happened to be the first truck behind him. So I pulled the whole convoy off the road, and about 20 minutes later, he decided we weren't behind him anymore, so he came back, and he started chewing me up one side and down the other, and I politely told him, you know what, and I told him I was protecting the convoy and myself.
Yeah.
Because as anybody that's been in convoy knows that you might be fighting for your country, but you're also fighting to protect the guy next to you. Mm. So I was protecting him. And he threatened to court-martial me, but he realized he was wrong, so that went by the board. And when I met my brother outside of Metz, France, I used to take a truck on the weekend if we weren't moving around, and I'd go see my brother, which was about 20 miles away, and every Monday morning I'd get heck from the CO. And finally, one time he said, I'd do the same thing. So I told him I might not be here tomorrow, and I got a chance to see my brother, and I took it.
Yeah. You know, so.
When you guys were over there fighting, how would you get news? Would it just come from
news?
Yeah, news, like, you know,
the Odyssey app? Or
they had a... like a magazine that came out once a week.
Okay.
But you didn't get... There was months we got no mail or anything because my particular outfit, we were shooting down airplanes in England, and we were supposed to go in on the invasion, and we couldn't move the whole outfit because we were semi-mobile. So they took us off of D-Day, and finally we protected the harbor where all the ships were. And one night a German bomber came in, and our guns couldn't shoot at it because they'd have shot up an English outfit that was on the other bank of the river. And he proceeded to blow up an oil tanker in the harbor, which made quite a fire. No. I was very fortunate to get to Omaha Beach on the 18th of July before they fled St. Lo. And General Patton couldn't get through St. Lo because the Germans had it really fortified. And he called for the 8th and 9th Air Force out of England to bomb the town. And you can't hardly believe this, but there was about 3,000 airplanes in the sky at the same time. And you couldn't hardly see the sky for airplanes. And they bombed St. Lo almost out of existence. And a one-star general by the name of McNair was killed in that particular bombing. They laid his body on the front of a cathedral that still had the wall standing, but nothing else. And they covered them with an American flag, and the graves registration came along and took them away. But that was the breakout for going across Europe, was St. Lo.
Well, we're so glad that you're here. And to meet you last year was one of the greatest things that has come from doing this radio show for a long time. And what I'd probably speak on behalf of everybody here when I say thank you for your service and what you did for our country. And without you, we would not be here today. So I thank you so much for it. Wow. And it's extraordinary to leave here at 18, having never been out of the country, and to go places that you never thought you'd go, and do what you did is really, it's incredible. So
thank you.
And yeah, I think.
I've told a lot of Vietnam veterans that that I'm glad to see that they're finally getting the recognition they deserve. They got a bad time coming home, and it's starting to get better for them, and I'm glad for that.
You know? Yeah.
Because I've had too many things like this that just unbelievable, yeah. You know.
Well, we're going to make it unbelievable for another lunch today, and I thank you so much. I think we have a birthday cake for your 100th.
Another one?
Yeah. What was the best gift you got for your 100th birthday?
Well, I got to say this honestly. When they started advertising about my birthday in town, there was about 3,000 people showed up all together. And I told them I didn't want any gifts. But people, I told them if they wanted to bring something, would you make a donation towards the American Legion and to the Battle of the Bulge Association? So to me, that's the best gift I got because I was given over $1,000 and I've sent $500 to both outfits.
Oh, that's awesome.
In my name.
Awesome, Joe. But, all right, Joe Landry.
Incredible.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back from the American Heritage Museum in Hudson on the Friday before Veterans Day.
Thank you for the honor.
I don't know how we beat that. Joe Landry, I don't know how. I don't know how.
Call it a day.
You can't.
No.
Call it a show after Joe Landry.
Yeah. Yeah. I have worked in the morning in Boston at this place for 12 years. I've listened to radio since I was old enough to talk. I have never cried and laughed separately as I did in that conversation.
The line to Courtney is an all-timer.
Drop the mic. Yeah. Like just the timing. But the other thing is it's just like this guy beat the most fierce fighting force in human history. He was part of beating Hitler's fascist military. And he's like, yeah, we came back. I don't know. Got home.
They gave us a cruise.
Like somebody gets the Wordle on two tries and they're bragging and sharing it on social media. Like, this guy literally beat Hitler.
Yeah, no.
Different generation.
Unbelievable.
It really is. Did you get any Call of Duty tips?
Yeah, I can always hit reset and come back. Like, Joe, I'm coming home.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Are we singing something for him here?
Oh, we should sing.
Yeah.
How about that? Is that our?
Is it true that Greg wanted this to be for him, too, because it's also his birthday?
I'm not there yet, Curtis.
Okay.
All right. We're all ready. Joe Landry just celebrated his 100th birthday. Who starts this? Do I?
Wiggy.
Okay, Wiggy.
And Joe's going to blow out the candles at the end and make a wish. So here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Is this, by the way, is it still? I need to ask Ken. Is it still safe to sing happy birthday in a public place?
I think it is.
That was a real problem.
Yeah.
It was a real problem.
Oh, right. The peas.
A while ago. Is it okay now? Okay.
What's the greatest generation so we don't care?
All right.
All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
What?
I'm adding a little flavor.
What kind of
day to you?
Woo! What kind of rube doesn't put the person's name in the song?
That's why he probably forgot it.
It's been sung for 100.
Oh, well, I was getting ready to.
What?
Probably did.
So
did you?
I was getting ready
Joe's
to put
name?
Joe's name in, but you cut me off. There you go. No.
Joe, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Joe, happy birthday,
thank
man.
Thank you for all you do.
Yeah, I was putting a little swang on it.
Wow, that's a rendition.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, cut it like literally. You think Quincy Jones would do that? Let that artist perform.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Joe Landry was just, if you're just tuning in, Joe Landry was on. We were talking a little bit of World War II, Greatest Generation stuff with him. If you missed that, you can go back. You can just hit rewind and go back and listen. Odyssey app, WEI.com. You can do that anytime you miss anything on this show or on this radio station. And it is a Patriots Friday. We will be right back.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.